Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right. Okay. Trying to adjust this microphone. All right, and so we get this... I don't know. It looks to be okay anyway. So we'll just try and take it from there. Anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago. And folks, we are having some weird weather here. It's going to be in the 60s this coming weekend and the following Monday, at least pertaining to weather reports. Of what they're saying, but I believe it because so far in the city of Chicago, it's been mild. But you know what? Winter hasn't taken a day off. I mean, you got some cities, some states around the United States, around America, that are covered with snow. So I guess we're just one of the lucky ones who have not had a lot of snow. A lot of snow, but it's been cold, but not much snow. If we've had it, but it's been very, very little. I'm not complaining. I don't care if we ever get any snow, but you know, the meteorologists are saying we need some snow. We need snow. Chicago needs snow. No, Chicago does not need snow. If you want snow, then you go to the North Pole. We don't need 12 or 13, 15 inches of snow. Believe me, I'm not for shoveling. All righty, we've hit another milestone, folks. I guess if you heard the show yesterday, you heard me passionately rant about the two little kids being shot in the city of Chicago, and now it's been three kids murdered in the last 2 or 3 days. That's ridiculous. And the superintendent, Eddie Johnson, gets on television and said, this is not a CPD problem. I beg to differ. I think it is. Is the entire murder seen in Chicago rest on the back of the Chicago Police Department? No. But do they have a stake in this? Yes. They get paid lots of money to have a stake in this. They act as if it's not their problem. It's not their fault, as if it has nothing to do with them, the killing, the murders. They act as if they're numb to this, as if, you know, they are paid to serve and protect. But yet this guy gets on television and says, this is not a CPD problem, with the mayor standing next to him or these people standing in back of him. This is not a CPD. It is a CPD. Don't be fooled by some of these jackasses who get on television, who get on radio shows and talk shows and just say, hey, it's not a CPD problem. It is a CPD problem. Anytime your kids are getting shot, you can't walk to the streets, to the store, to the park without getting nailed because there's no policeman around who is patrolling that area. That's a problem. A lot of these people would not be getting shot if the police did their jobs and patrolled some of these areas, saturated some of these areas, gangbanging areas with police officers to curtail, to deter a crime from being committed. That's not happening. It's not happening. They don't have a plan. They don't have solution. They don't have anything. So they're making up excuses. So, hey, folks, people are dying in the city of Chicago. The murder rate is going up. But, hey, it's not our fault. We're the police department, but it's not our fault. You shouldn't blame us. You should blame the plethora of guns in the city. You should blame the bad guys, but don't blame us. Blame the gangbangers, but don't blame the police officers. That's crap. Okay, that's totally crap. And I hope the people of Chicago do not fall for that. I'm not entirely blaming the police department, but they act as if they don't have a stake in this. They act as if it's not their fault, if they it's not on their radar to do anything about this. It is. And I agree with some of the other activists in the communities. We need a change of leadership. It has to come at the top. We need a new mayor, a new governor, a new superintendent. We need people who know how to combat crime, these situations. Yeah, we can use federal help. Of course, the police aren't doing their job. They don't know how to do it. We need people to come in here with new ideas, with new ways. Without this technology, I think crime solving and crime prevention would be a drop in the bucket, but somehow it's not. It's not. And some of these leaders are asking for resources in the community. And I said yesterday, that's fine, but resources in the community is not going to do the bad guy any good. The bad guy is going to be a bad guy, no matter how many schools or how many jobs you offer or how many uplifting programs that you offer the youth in some of these high crime areas. The bad guy, they don't give a damn about this stuff. I mean, they're out there with guns. They're going to shoot. You got to go and get the bad guys. You know where the gangs are. You know who they are. You know where they are. Go get them out of these neighborhoods. These guys are terrorizing these communities. How hard is that? You're a police officer. If you can't do your job, quit. If you don't want to do it, quit. If you hate the paperwork, quit. And give someone else a job who is motivated, dedicated, to helping people in need when in terms of keeping them safe from bullet fire. And I know there's people out there who are going to disagree with me. I don't care. That's how I feel about this. That's how I will always feel about this. They act as if this is not their problem. It's their problem. It's the mayor's problem. It's the governor's problem. And they are not on the ball with this. We need new deals. We need new ideas, fresh ideas, ideas that are going to result in ideas that are going to pan out with results. We need results. We don't need a lot of talk or grandstanding on television, on these shows. We need results. The crime epidemic in the city of Chicago should be made top priority over anything else. Anything else. But somehow, hey, it's not happening. It's not happening. people are growing numb to these killings in the city of Chicago, and it shouldn't happen. I mean, oh, well, somebody got shot. A kid got shot. Oh, let's go have a hamburger. You know, I mean, but I can understand why some people may be numb to all of this, because it happens so much, so often. And it just, you know, every time you look around, somebody's shot, somebody's shot, somebody's being robbed, somebody, there's crime here, there's crime there, murders, shootings, homicides. Right now, it has outpaced 2016, of this time last year, as of this time this year, 2017. And it just pisses me off to know that the mayor and the superintendent saying, hey, it's not our problem. We don't have resources in the neighborhood. Man, give me a break. These two people should be thrown out on their asses. They don't have solutions. They don't have ideas. They don't have anything. These kids, these babies are constantly getting shot. There's constantly crime all over the place. And they are acting like it's not their problem. It's not a CD, not a CPD problem. It is a CD. Don't let these guys lie to you, jive you, spin. Don't let them do that. Because we elected these fools, and we can throw these fools out and get people in that position that know how to do, bring some of this carnage down in the city of Chicago. It's happening in other states. In other cities. Why not Chicago? Because we got a bunch of buffoons who don't know what they're doing, or they're afraid to do their jobs, or not doing their jobs accurately. This is why there is so much crime in the city of Chicago. I'm not putting the whole thing on the Chicago PD, of course. Yeah, we could use some resources, but you got to put some of the blame on the police department. Other states, other cities throughout America who are looking at this city, they are doing the same thing. They're putting the blame on the police department. They're putting the blame on the mayor's department. They're putting the blame on the governor. So why shouldn't we? They're not looking at resources for the neighborhood. They're looking at the mayor, the superintendent, and the governor to do something. Come up with some plans. If the first plan doesn't work, come up with another plan and another until the bad guys get the idea that they are no longer wanted in the city of Chicago. Drive them out, arrest them, kill them, whatever you have to do to make this city safe. I get so sick and tired every night that Chicago is making the national news. That's an embarrassment. And all these guys can do is come up with excuses. Excuses. We're not to blame. We need resources in the neighborhood. We need this. The mayor basically is saying the same thing. He's not to blame. The superintendent, well, we're not to blame. We're not. What are we paying you for? Your job is to keep people safe in this city. It's not happening. Your job is to keep the children, our babies, safe in this city. It's not happening. You don't want the National Guard, which I think if you had the National Guard or the U.S. Army patrolling some of these neighborhoods, this would not happen. But you guys don't want the National Guard because that's too much of a, because that would be too much of an embarrassment on your administration. That's why you don't want it. You rather let people just get shot than to have the guard over here in some of these neighborhoods to prevent some of this, because the police isn't doing it. The police is not doing this. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. I believe that I dropped my my passion, folks, and I believe I dropped my pointer. A mouse. Let me see if I can't retrieve it. We're going to be off the air for about a second. All right, we should be right back. Hold on. Okay, we are back, and they are all over the place, all over the tube, talking about Chicago murders. And I'm talking about it. And I'm putting a little emphasis on it. And, you know, this is just crazy. This is just ridiculous. But it's going on, folks, and it should not be going on. Okay, we're going to do this. Thanks for listening to the... Thanks. Oh, anyway, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And I am as passionate as I was yesterday on this issue. And 347-857-1762, I am as passionate, if not more passionate. Because just today, another child was shot, making it 3 in 2 days. Which is totally, totally ridiculous. Totally, totally ridiculous. All right, we're going to be right back. We're back. We are back. And I was just passionately speaking, folks. If you missed it, if you're just tuning in, I was totally, totally for about 10 or 15 minutes passionately speaking about, as I was yesterday on the show, if you missed that, about the carnage in the city of Chicago. We just had three children. I'm talking children, a baby, 2-year-old baby shot in the city of Chicago. Shot. The crime statistics has surpassed the crime statistics for Chicago for this year, January, February 2017, has surpassed the crime statistics of January, February of 2016. And the police superintendent gets on television. The crime just, it just seems like it just, I think two or three days ago, I said Chicago was not up for grabs. I'm thinking it's up for grabs now. And nobody nowhere can tell me anything different. I can listen to you. I can, you know, understand what you're saying, but it doesn't mean I have to agree with it and go along with it. Okay. The superintendent came on television and said, this is not a CPD problem. That's the first thing that came out of his mouth. And it is a CPD problem. It is a Chicago Police Department's police problem. You know, anytime we have this much shootings, this much murdering and homicides in this city, and the police can't seem to get a handle on it to stop it, it's their problem. I'm not going to say that is that this is entirely the problem of the police department. No. But I don't like the fact that they try to dismiss themselves or not take the blame for some of the, for not taking the blame of solving some of these murders and preventing and curtailing some of these crimes in the city of Chicago. That uniform that they wear is supposed to be a deterrent. It's not a deterrent if it's not nowhere near where they should be. These crimes are occurring in some of these neighborhoods and some of these areas. It should be some police presence there. Where are they? The only time you see police officers in the city of Chicago gathering around is when the deed has already been done, when somebody has already died, been shot to death. You see them everywhere then, but before, you didn't see anybody. That's a damn shame. They're standing around looking with flashlights, and the bad guys, they're long gone. I guess what I'm saying is what I've always said. Saturate some of these high crime communities with police officers. I don't care if you do bring in resources, but still you're going to have to saturate them, because the resources is not going to stop the bad guys from doing the dirt that they do when it comes to shooting, killing people. I'm just pissed off. I've always, you know, been the type of guy, a mild kind of guy, but this is just pisses me off when you see two-year-old babies getting shot and the police, they get their asses on television and say this is not their problem, basically. What the hell are you getting paid for? Why am I paying you? Why am I giving you my tax money? If this is not your problem, then quit. Let somebody else take the job that is not afraid to do their jobs. If you're afraid to do your job, if you don't want to do your job because you're afraid that you're going to end up on YouTube in a video, if you're afraid to do your job because you're afraid that what you do or how you do it is going to get the city sued, then, quit. We want good officers. We want dedicated policemen who are going to go into the neighborhoods, help the community, be a part of the community. We don't need John Wayne types going in the community, going into the communities. The residents are not going to accept that. But there's no doubt some of the residents of these communities have stated as much. They have said they will take any kind of help to keep their children alive, even the National Guard. These are the residents of these neighborhoods. But the politicians, the leaders, say, no, we don't want the National Guard. They don't want the National Guard because the National Guard would make them look like failures. So they don't put the National Guard over there. If you put the National Guard in some of these high crime communities, you watch the crime go down. It's not going to go up because there's going to always be a presence there. Day, night, 24/7. The police, I admit they need help. Maybe they need federal help. Maybe they need federal agents. Maybe they need resources like so many of them are saying. But this is not something where the police can ease their ass out of. We need new leadership in the city of Chicago. The police are trying to say it's not their problem. I know if they're listening to the show, they're going to say that's not true. But I'm telling you what I heard. This guy got on television and said that this is not a CPD problem, as if they don't have anything to do with bringing down crime, as if they don't have anything to do with serve and protect. I'm pretty well, they don't, because they're not doing it. But that is what we pay them to do. We pay them to do that. If they don't want to do it, if they're cowards, they're afraid of the gangbangers, they're afraid they're going to get shot, they're afraid of this, afraid of that, then quit and give somebody that job who will do it. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. My guest today is Martin Wilson, and he's going to be talking about the power of your choices on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All righty.
My son has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. It doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. Stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
All right, more trouble in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. We've got a governor who's been in office for 3 years and still hasn't signed on to a budget. Yeah. If you go back into the archives of this show, you will see that I have been railing against this guy when he took the office, when he bought the office, actually, to the governorship in the state of Illinois. I have been railing against this guy. And now here it is, February 2017, and we still have no budget in the city of Chicago. No budget. No budget means that the government in the city, in the state of Illinois, cannot spend money. State workers, and I think there's 65 to 70,000 state workers in the state of Illinois, their paychecks could be stopped at any point in time. They will not be getting paid. The only reason why they're getting paid now is, I believe, it's a court order. Because if it was up to this governor and the legislature, they would not be getting paid. You know, I mean, these people are heartless. They are stupid. They're dumb. And, you know, they think they have all the answers, and they feel that we should listen and pay attention because, like I've said, they feel that they have all the answers and we do not. Bull crap. BS. And this is just another way of saying my way or the highway, do it my way or you get nothing. The governor is still holding the state of Illinois hostage. And he, every time he gives one of his state of the state messages in the state of Illinois, nobody watches. The only time you see any parts of his speech is when, you know, they show clips of it on television, on the news or something, but nobody really rushes to the internet or to their cable box or anything on the television to sit down and watch this man speak. Why would we rush to watch this governor? He's done nothing but hurt Illinois. That's all he's done. And then after he hurt Illinois, after he hurts it, he blames other people for it. We still have no budget in the state of Illinois going on 3 years. And a lot of programs are suffering. A lot of people are suffering. The mentally ill, the disabled, you name it. Child care, daycare, all of these things are affected. And these people have no conscience, no nothing, because majority of the people who are putting this hardship on some of these people and their social programs, these people are rich. They don't feel anything. They're rich. And they're stepping on the poor. They're stepping on the people who have nothing at all. They're screwing over working people. And I've said this a zillion times. If you are poor, working poor, even if you just have a job that you go to every day, these people are not for you. They are going to screw you in every way they can because that's what they want to do. It's what they want to do. Do not let them tell you that this is for the state of Illinois. This is what the state of Illinois needs. No, that's not what the state of Illinois, that's not what the state of Illinois needs. That's what they want you to believe. That you sacrificing for your community or your city or your state. No. They want to screw you, period. People have lost their jobs. People have lost their lives because of these budget cuts, because there's no budget in play. You know, and the legislature and the Bruce Rauner, I mean, they're in a standoff and everybody else is in the middle. We're the ones getting hurt. These guys are not getting hurt because they're rich. They have money. They're not going to lose their home. They're not going to lose their car. Their kids are going to go to the best colleges there is. Their kids are going to go to the best high schools, grammar schools, colleges, and universities, the best there is. But they're going to stop your child. If you are a working American, they're going to stop your child from getting all that great education. They're going to do their best. It's like some people say, if you're not rich, you lose. You're out. You're out of the box. I mean, you take Donald Trump, for instance. He has installed all of these crazy, idiot, inexperienced people to a lot of these cabinet posts in Washington, D.C. And none of these people have your interest at heart because they're all billionaires. They're all millionaires. They're going to make sure that they screw you, me, and everybody else who are not like them, who are criticizing them, who didn't vote for them. We are going to have to Okay, it's 6:34 p.m. Okay, we're going to have to stand up. We're going to have to do something, folks. The Republicans are screwing us left and right, and they're lying, and they're spinning, and they're twisting your words, my words. You know, they're acting like they're godsend to the White House or to the governorship, and they're not. They are not. So we are 3 years in the state of Illinois without a effing budget. And everybody is blaming everybody. But most of the blame is being directed where it should be. And that's to this governor. This guy can have a budget in 5 minutes if he chose to. He doesn't choose to. Now he's coming up with all these unrelated ideas, these unrelated demands that has nothing to do with the budget. He wants those demands like term limits, and he wants to bust unions. And what else is there? I think there's a third thing that he wants to do. Yeah, okay, workman's compensation. He wants all of that. But if he doesn't get it, then the state of Illinois will not have a budget. And he, you know, he said as much. I believe he's backed down on some of this stuff that he calls his turnaround agenda. And it's just, we got to do something, folks. I mean, I've said the other day that we have people power. I mean, you may have the Congress in Washington, D.C., may be controlled by the Republicans. Okay, the Democrats can't do anything in Congress in Washington. They can't pass nothing. They can only suggest things, and they can make their voices heard over things that they feel isn't right or going right. I'm all for that. I mean, because if you make your voice heard, the people out here, out in the grassroots communities and the cities and the states, who are working folks, they're going to hear it. We're going to hear it, and we're going to act on it. We have people power. We can rally, we can protest, we can mobilize and get these assholes to do what we want them to do. Because they're going to lie, they're going to cheat, they're going to spin, they're going to act like they're God's gifts to America. And that's BS. That's bull. Total BS. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be American. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away, but we have to get out here and fight the good fight, you know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently, so let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. Yeah, that is totally correct. I think we can make our voices heard by uniting, rallying, protesting, and doing it in a nonviolent way, as Martin Luther King used to say. We don't have to fight and bitch and, you know, we can just, as we've been doing. I mean, you've noticed that women's march all around the world protesting Donald Trump, and things will change, folks. You don't want to let the Donald Trump and his administration just run rugged right over you. Like Meryl Streep said, these people want to take away our happiness, things, our freedom. We can't let that happen. we can mobilize, we can rally, we can stick together, we can go out here and tell these people, this is what we want, and we want it now. We want it now. You know, no budget in the state of Illinois. I mean, people should be out here enraged. They are. They totally are. But this guy, Bruce Rauner, he's running for re-election next year. Re-election. Can you believe that? Illinois has been 3 years without a budget, and it's all his fault. And everybody knows it. Sticking it to unions, sticking it to public schools, sticking it to 60 to 70,000 state workers who may not get their checks at some time. And he wants to run for re-election. Do you think he's going to be re-elected? No way. Not here. How in the hell are you going to re-elect someone who is not doing his job? I mean, if you or I, you know, at our jobs, if we didn't do our jobs, we would get fired. He's fired. He's going to be out of here. One of the things I really kind of apprehensive about is if a politician screws up in his job, if he doesn't keep him or her, if they don't keep their promises, they should be fired on the spot. They shouldn't have to wait until their term is over. If you're not doing your job, if you got a four-year or a six-year term, and in your first term, in your first year or your first month, and you're not doing your job, you're screwing up, you should be fired right then and there. You shouldn't have to wait until your term is over for people not to vote for you again. You should be out right then and there. And that's the way I feel about Bruce Rauner. That's the way I feel about Donald Trump. I think Bruce Rauner should be impeached for not having or not wanting a budget for the state of Illinois for 3 years. That should be an impeachable defense because he's breaking the laws of the Constitution. But our Democratic friends in the legislature, they don't have the backbone for that. They can impeach him. They're leading. They have most of the votes in the House and in the Senate. You know, I mean, this guy can be impeached. At least if he can't be impeached by the House, he can be impeached by the Senate or vice versa or both. Because there's petitions going around already on the Internet to impeach him. Because he's not doing his job. He's done more to hurt Illinois than he's done to help the state of Illinois, and he wants to run again. I don't know. I think he's just as mentally ill as Donald Trump is. You know, if he thinks people are going to re-elect him and there's no budget, you got to be insane. If you're not doing your job, you think people are going to re-elect you again to office for you not to do your job again in the second term? No way. No way. I think people are going to be more mobilized. They're going to be more determined to clean house. To clean house. And that's in the state of Illinois. And I believe they're going to clean house in 2018 in Congress. All of these representatives, all of those Republican representatives in Congress who are licking the boots of Donald Trump should be thrown the hell out. All of those elected representatives in Congress who are not doing their jobs, who think they are too cute or too upstanding to do their jobs, will be kicked out. All the Republicans who are not going to investigate Donald Trump, Michael Flynn, and all of these other assholes who are questionable in the Trump administration should be thrown out on their ass coming November 2018. You throw their asses right out because they are about themselves. They are about their party. They are not about America. They are about destroying America and, as always, blaming someone else. Blaming someone else or spinning or lying, trying to get out of it. I mean, the Donald Trump administration is one of the worst administrations in the history of America. He's one of the worst presidents. His administration came up out of the swamp or the sewer, and he appointed all these people to these cabinet posts who are questionable, who are unfit. Some of them can't even spell. I mean, this is just nonsense what we're going through here. It's going to take people power. Of course. I mean, it sounds like the Russians are spy ships are in international waters. I mean, what is this? They're saying that they're testing Donald Trump. A lot of people are saying, this is World War III. And like I've said so many times, we're going to get blown off the damn face of the earth. Donald Trump administration is going to blow us off the fucking earth. Because I believe Korea also tested the strength of Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump is what I don't understand. Why would Putin do that? Test Donald Trump. When Donald Trump is always saying so many nice things about this thug, killer, and murderer. All of a sudden, Putin seems to turn on Donald Trump by sending his spy planes and warships out here in international waters. That's a threat. That's a test. Of course, Russia is nowhere near as big as the United States. I don't think Russia's firepower is nowhere near the massive firepower of the United States, but still in all, they're breaking the law. Just like Korea, when it tested a missile, it broke the law. They're testing Donald Trump. I actually think Donald Trump is a coward. I really do. I mean, he's always touting Chicago's crime. Chicago this, Chicago that. But he hasn't come to Chicago. He hasn't sent any resources to Chicago. But he's always touting the carnage, as he puts. He's always touting what's going on in Chicago. And he promised before he was elected that he was going to end Chicago's crime within a week. Baloney. He said that. I'm going to end, if I'm elected, I'm going to end Chicago's crime in 1 week. And we were all saying, okay, you know. And once he got elected, crime was still happening in the city of Chicago. And, you know, what's going on in the city of Chicago? You know, I was reading somewhere where he said he was going to come to Chicago and talk to the gangbangers going to the west and south sides of the city. That hasn't happened. Donald Trump is just grandstanding. Like someone said, Donald Trump is grandstanding on Chicago's crime. He's not going to do anything. He's not going to come. He's not going to commit to anything. He may send some, you know, agents in or something, but that's about it. He may even send some resources. I don't know if that's going to happen. But Donald Trump is totally, totally grandstanding. He's not going to do crap. You know, I think he's a coward. You know, that's because the reason why I say that is he lied about being able to stop crime in the city of Chicago in a few days or 1 week. That was a total lie. He can't do it. It was a dumb statement. But a lot of people bought it because he's Donald Trump. You know, a few months ago, he lied about meeting with someone in the police department. That was a big bald-faced lie. And a few months before that, I think he lied about meeting with the NFL. And they said they had nothing they said they don't know nothing about meeting with Donald Trump. You know, all of this is in the news. All of this is searchable and verifiable. So this is not fake news. And once again, folks, I think we're in some dark times with this administration. with this administration, I think we are in some really dark ass times, and it's no joke. World War III, is always a possibility with Donald Trump. World War IV, it's always a possibility with Donald Trump. You've got some psychiatrists and doctors saying that this guy is mentally ill. I think so. But and he's got his hands on the button. So we are in trouble. I mean, it's hard for some of us to sleep at night wondering if we're going to be alive the next morning. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Google. I'm all over the place. Amazon, I'm all over the place. I'm doing some writing, folks. I love to write. I think it's great. It's beautiful. I've been doing some writing all week, and sometimes I do writing as soon as I'm off the air. I go right into editing and all that kind of thing. It's fun. It's refreshing. It keeps my mind and my thoughts going, and it's always a good thing. That's why I have so many writers and a variety of people on the show, because they give their own take on what they do, on their craft. And that's wonderful. And I hope you guys out there learn a lot of things from the George Wilder Jr. Show. And 347-857, always listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I mean, it's always fantastic, you know. And Kellyanne Conway. So a lot of people out there, you know who she is. If you dab in politics, you know who she is. She's been banned from Joe Scarborough's show. Good Morning Joe, I believe. I don't watch it, but she's been banned. She should have been banned a long time ago. And I think this is the second show that she's been banned from. And basically she's banned because one of the show's hosts say that she's just not credible. And I can agree with that. If she wanted to come on my show, I would say, hell no, I don't want her on my show. I don't need her lying or trying to control what's going on my show. And that's what a lot of these surrogates of Donald Trump do. When they get on some of these cable shows, they try to take it over with lies and spin and more lies, talking fast, talking loud, and lying. At every juncture, they don't answer questions, you know, and that's what pissed me off. I used to watch a lot of these Sunday shows, folks, and I would see all of these politicians being interviewed by the moderator, and the moderator would ask them a question, and they would talk their asses off, but never answer the question. They would basically say what they wanted to say. They would talk down at the moderator. And this just, after so many years of watching this, I decided to just say, I don't want to watch this. Because the politicians, they believe that these shows belong to them. And I used to say for so long, these shows do not belong to these damn politicians. Those shows belong to the people of the United States. But the politicians, they take them over to lie and to spin. Anyway, Kelly Conway is not going to be on The Morning Joe, from my understanding, because she's not credible. She texts the show and books herself onto the show. I think that stinks. Nobody better not text this show and book themselves, because I'm the one who does the booking on the show. All right, we were talking about Martin Wilson on the show. He probably got gotten caught up in something. We'll try and book him for next time. Anyway, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I was asked one day, someone said, George, why don't you have a co-host on your show? I've had co-hosts on the show. And maybe that I can do that sometime in the future, a co-host. Because you need to bounce ideas off of each other. I don't need to bounce ideas off of anybody. You know, this is my show. I can have a co-host or maybe I don't need a co-host. I don't care. I mean, I can do this. I've been doing this show for 3 years, and I've had a co-host on the show, and it didn't work out too well. So I do the show basically alone sometimes, and it's great. It feels good. I have guests. I have callers sometimes, but you know what? A lot of people do not like calling a talk show. You know, a lot of people just sit back and just listen, which is great. They are podcast the show, you know, and then they'll drop me an email or inbox me on Facebook and give me some feedback from the show. But it's a good show, and I'm dedicated to doing this show. And maybe one day I will have a co-host on the show that I can bounce ideas off of. But I have enough guests on the show to kind of cover myself on that. Anyway, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. Any essential distinction between Donald Trump being merely an idiot marionette belonging to Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump behaving like an active Russian agent has been fully erased in the course of just over 1 week, and it has been erased by Donald Trump. When the damning stain of illegitimacy grows on this presidency week by week, hour by hour, when every moment of the political discourse of this nation becomes consumed by a debate over not whether he has been placed in office by the efforts of a foreign power, but a debate over how much of that subversion he knew in advance, he will have no one to blame but himself, because he cannot leave it alone. Because every move Donald Trump has made this year has been politically tone deaf. He could not make it look more like he is covering up something, something horrifying, if he hung a sign around his neck reading "cover up." He reeks of cover up. And in his neurosis,
yeah,
unsatisfied
totally
with having fooled some of the people some of the time, he has not merely ignored the option a real president would take, invite a full investigation. He has also waited weeks before trying the option a skilled traitor would take, shut up and change the subject to, say, Meryl Streep. And still, like a desperate child, he has to keep bringing this subject up, keep shouting those key words that he should never speak again, Russia, hacking, Assange, Putin, until he can presumably convince himself that he has convinced everyone everywhere that none of it is true, and until he can convince himself everyone now agrees with him about how strong and powerful he is and how he has now won. It is madness, and it will destroy him. December 29th, I think we ought to get on with our lives. I think that computers have complicated lives very greatly. The whole age of computer has made it where nobody knows exactly what's going on. But saying nobody knows exactly what's going on means even he doesn't know exactly what's going on, and he can't let anybody believe that. December 31st, I know a lot about hacking, and hacking is a very hard thing to prove, so it could be somebody else. And I also know things that other people don't know, and so they cannot be sure of this situation. Pool reporter, what do you know that other people don't know? Trump, you'll find out Tuesday or Wednesday. All we found out Tuesday or Wednesday was his willingness to publicly advertise his own paranoia. Tuesday.
I want to start straight with General Flynn. If General Flynn was lying those times when he said that sanctions did not come up, that he did speak to the Russian ambassador about sanctions before taking office, should the president fire him?
Well, this is a very troubling development, and it speaks to the broader issue of Russia's involvement in our elections. It speaks to the issue of President Trump being buddy-buddy with a thug and a murderer. Who is the head of Russia. And now we're learning that may have been discussions between Flynn and the Russians about sanctions before this administration took power. So this is very, very troubling, and I think the president is going to have to tell us what he's going to do about it.
So far he hasn't said much. Senator, I don't know if you've heard. Here's what he has said. You know, he was asked about this report about Flynn on his flight to Mar-a-Lago late today, right? He just landed about an hour or so ago, and here's how he responded.
I don't know about it. I haven't seen it. What report is that?
The Washington Post is reporting that he talked to the ambassador to Russia before you were inaugurated about sanctions, maybe trying to...
I haven't seen that. I'll look at that.
He says he knows nothing about it, hasn't seen any of these reports. Is that a problem?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he was watching CNN fake news. What do you think?
You don't buy it.
That was a joke.
I know it was a joke. I'm saying you don't buy what he said, obviously. We are back. Senator Sanders is back with me, and I want to apologize to our viewers, obviously, for that technical issue. And Senator, you had just been joking about, you know, CNN fake news, but obviously the reports about General
Flynn.
Well,
here is the point. Here is the point, Darren, that it's not a joke. And I can tell you that here in Vermont and all over this country, there is a real concern about what's happening in this country over the last month. When you have a president who attacks people in the media who make critical remarks of them, which is what their job is, as providing fake news. When you have a president who attacks a judge who rules against him as a so-called judge, indicting the entire judiciary, clearly we have a president who does not understand what our Constitution is about, what democracy is about. And I think there is a fear in this country of this nation under Trump moving into a more authoritarian mode. Second of all, what I hear in Vermont and around this country is people see this president as a total hypocrite, somebody who campaigned before the American people saying, I'm a different type of Republican. I'm not going to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And then he appoints people to those important positions whose whole life work has been about cutting Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. He says, I'm going to take on Wall Street. And then he appoints the head of Goldman Sachs, one of the largest financial institutions in the country, as his right-hand guy, and surround himself with billionaires. So I think there is growing consternation in this country, and what you are seeing is people beginning to stand up and fight back. You're seeing at Republican town meetings in Utah, elsewhere, hundreds and hundreds of people coming out. And I do want to tell you that on February 25th, 2 weeks from tomorrow, there will be rallies all over this country where Democrats, Republicans, independents are going to go out to Republican offices, congressional offices, and say, you know what? You're not going to throw 20 million people off of health insurance, and you're not going to do away with pre-existing conditions. So I think you're seeing the American people standing up to Trump and fighting back.
There's a lot of things I want to ask you about, but because you bring up those town halls, I want to ask you that now. There's been a lot of anger and protests at these Republican town halls, right? This is all about Obamacare, as you point out. You're talking about another day of action. You had one back in January that you were the leader of. Do you think these protests are going to have any impact, though, on Republicans who will, of course, control this, repeal and replace?
Do I think? I think it has already had a huge impact. You remember, it was just a month or two ago, Republicans said, we're going to repeal the Affordable Care Act. We're going to throw millions off of health insurance. We're going to raise prescription drug costs for seniors. We're going to do away with pre-existing conditions. We're going to do all of that. Repeal, repeal, repeal. Guess what? You're not hearing that so much anymore. And I think when hundreds of thousands of people come out and actually confront Republicans and say, look, you don't like the Affordable Care Act? Fine. We know it has problems. What are your ideas to improve it? How are you going to drive down deductibles? How are you going to provide health insurance for the 28 million people who don't have it? Are you going to make sure that people who have pre-existing conditions still are going to be able to get insurance at a rate that they can afford? Are you going to throw young people off their parents' insurance? Are you going to raise prescription drug costs by $2,000 for senior citizens? Those are the questions Republicans are going to hear. And you know what? I don't think you're going to see them going forward with the repeal of the ACA.
So what do you think they're going to do? I mean, they're not going to let it stay as it is.
No, they're not. But I think they're going to have to address the fact that we need to make it better, not just throw it out. People are saying you're crazy. You just can't throw out something without replacing it with something that is good or better. But I think that is the message that the Republicans are getting, and they are hearing it very clearly.
It's interesting that you have all of this action around Obamacare right now and a lot of protests about that, but also a lot of questions about where the Democratic Party is going. Obviously, you're an independent, but this is an issue that is near and dear to Democrats' hearts. We are hearing now, sources just tonight telling us, and I don't think you've heard this, that during a meeting with senators at the White House, President Trump said that Elizabeth Warren is now the face of the Democratic Party, but that's not how he said it. The way he said it is Pocahontas is now the face of your party. What's your reaction to that?
Put some chicken in that stove.
Well, again, I mean, it's what can you say? I keep saying it's unbelievable. I mean, he's using incredibly insulting words. Elizabeth Warren, to my view, is one of the outstanding members of the United States Senate. I understand why Trump may not like her, because she has stood up for to Wall Street and stood up to the billionaire class. So I think that, in fact, in my view, we need basic transformation of the Democratic Party to make it a party of working people, to make it a party that is very clear. We are going to stand up to Wall Street. We're going to stand up to the drug companies and the insurance companies. And we are going to bring about the kinds of changes that this country needs to protect the middle class and working families.
Why do you think, though, that he always attacks her, right? He's not attacking you. Why is he attacking her? Is it because she's a woman or why? Why?
You know what, Aaron, I really, trying to understand the way this president functions is something that I can't quite figure out myself, and I'm not sure that many people can.
It does bring me, though, to a serious issue, though, of course, which is mental health, right? In recent days, several Democrats have questioned his mental health. Nancy Pelosi said he should get a mental health check. She suggested that. You yourself have used the word delusional to describe him.
All right, thanks.
Look, I know how you feel about him, but do you think that this talk is disrespectful of the office of the president?
You know, that is a fair question. And if you know my personal record, you know I am maybe the most progressive member of the United States Congress. But that doesn't allow me, and I never have, just attack people because their views are different than mine. You have a lot of Republicans out there, conservative, they're decent, honest people. I disagree with them. I use the term delusional in Trump with regard to Trump when he said there were 3 to 5 million illegals who voted in the last election. Aaron, that is delusional. Nobody in the world believes that is the case. There is zero evidence to back it up. But he makes that statement. So I think the word delusional is correct. I have used the word pathological liar to describe Donald Trump. Those are very harsh terms. I don't feel good about it. I disagreed with George Bush all the time. Never called him a pathological liar because he was not. Just a conservative president. But this guy lies all of the time. So we are in kind of a new era. And I know the media is figuring out how it could deal with it. Democrats are figuring out how we could deal with that. And by the way, you got some Republicans who are not all that enthusiastic about the way that this president is behaving. But bottom line here is I think the American people, working people, middle class people, are understanding that this guy is not delivering what he promised. How can you go around saying you will not cut Social Security and then you appoint to be head of HHS a guy whose whole life's work has been about cutting Medicare, cutting Social Security? The hypocrisy is unbelievable.
Right. Although he hasn't done it yet, and he has, I mean, one could argue he's keeping absolutely all of his campaign promises, right, Senator, including the travel ban, which I want to get your new view on the breaking news tonight, because he's now saying he may issue a new executive order. He says this is about security. He doesn't have the time to fight through the courts, possibly, with the one that was, of course, the issue with the Ninth Circuit Court last night. We asked him tonight on the plane to Mar-a-Lago what would be in the new executive order, and here's exactly how he answered that question.
We're going to have very, very strong vetting. I call it extreme vetting, and we're going to have very strong security in our country. We are going to have people come into our country that want to be here for good reasons.
Is there an executive order on this issue, Senator, that you could get behind? Because we all know there are major security risks. There are people outside the United States who do want to come here to do Americans harm. Is there an executive order on this front that he could rework that you could support?
Look, Aaron, what the president just said is what everybody agrees with. Who wants to create a situation where people are going to come into this country to do us harm? There already is very, very strong vetting. If the president has an idea on how you make that vetting even stronger and may keep us safer, that's fine. Who disagrees with that? But this is what I will tell you, and it's not just me. These are national security experts who say that Trump's words and his deeds are making us less safe because he is feeding ammunition to the jihadists to the people who hate America. And he's going out and all over the world. You know, the jihadists are telling young people to see that. They really do hate us. That's what we've been telling you all along. They are anti-Muslim. Stand up. Fight Americans. So I think, and I think many national security experts would agree with me, that we are becoming less safe because of this anti-Muslim rhetoric and actions.
All right, Senator Sanders, thank you for your time tonight.
All right, that's thank you. That's Bernie Sanders. And he's, as always, this guy tells it like it is. I am a fan. I am, you know, in awe of this guy. He's 75 years old. He ran for president. He probably could have become president, you know, if Hillary Clinton, you know, had a dropped out or whatever. But he, I actually do think if it was Trump against Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders would be our president right now. There's no doubt about it. Bernie Sanders would be our president right now. Hillary, I mean, she came with a lot of baggage. I mean, a hell of a lot of baggage. And there is no disputing that the Russians helped Donald Trump into the White House. There's no dispute that the FBI helped Donald Trump into the office. So Donald Trump had help getting, and some of it was just totally illegal. And I'm hoping that some of the Republicans in Congress grow some balls and you know, investigate Trump and his administration, because these guys are nothing but thugs. I mean, we got thugs all over the White House, corruption spilling out all over on Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. That is no doubt about it. We have a bunch of gangsters in the White House running the country. And it, I mean, it's almost like a movie. I mean, I guess you could. This could be a movie. Donald Trump and his goons. I'm pretty sure that they, you know, once the cameras are off and they're behind closed doors, I would love to hear what's going on. But when the cameras are on, you're going to see smiles and all this kind of thing. And he's going to be signing executive orders and smiling. But as soon as the cameras are off, that is when the infighting starts in the White House. That's when the bitching and the disagreement starts. That's probably when some people in the White House are being disciplined for something they may have said or not said, or they didn't lie good enough or whatever, you know. But it's easy to surmise that things in the White House aren't good. I mean, you know, it's just not good. I mean, especially with all these leaks of what's going on in the White House, all of these leaks. I mean, they're going to be leaking out national security. They're going to be leaking out the security codes, you know, on Twitter. This is crazy. This is unprecedented. This guy, Donald Trump, went into office, came into office with the lowest approval rating of any president in United States history, in American history. And he acts as if, you know, we all put him there. I didn't vote for him. You know, I'm one of those votes that was among the populist votes. Okay. All right. And I'm pretty sure most of the people out there didn't vote for him, because Hillary Clinton got 3 million votes. And Donald Trump was bitching about, hey, wow, 3 million votes. Hey, illegals did that. That's another thing about this administration. They always saying stuff, but saying things, you know, without proof. They have no proof in nothing that they say. And if you ask them for proof, they're going to pivot to something else. They're going to spin. They're going to lie. They're going to say, hey, wow, that's not what we should be talking about. This is what we should be talking about. They're going to try and do everything they can to not prevent any proof, because they don't have any. They can't come up with proof because they don't have any. But they are too ignorant to say that. Instead of saying we don't have any proof of what we're saying, we're just saying it. You know, they could say that, but instead of saying that, a moderator said, do you have any proof? Is there any indication of any kind of proof that you can provide us with evidence that that has been going on? Well, yeah, but this is what we should be talking about right here. This is what the American people want. This is how these people talk. They do not answer the questions because they have no answers for the questions. And they think that we, the people out here in America, are too dumb and stupid to notice that they are trying to make us dumb and stupid. This is why I keep saying, I keep harping back, we have to mobilize, we have to get together, protest rallies, even though the Republicans control Congress, but they do not control you or me. We've got to get out here, and or these people are going to run roughshod over us. They're going to take away everything that we've worked so hard to achieve, and that's no lie. They're going to take us all the way back to the 1800s, these folks, if we don't do something. Donald Trump has lied through his teeth. You know, the reason why I say this guy has lied, and there's proven lies that he's lied. It's in the record books. It's going to go down in history that he's the most lyingest president in the history of America. But he lied. But some other proofs of his lies are the cabinet members that he's made to some of these posts. I mean, these are all billionaires, millionaires. That tells you right then and there, they are not for you. If you middle class, they are not for you. If you're working every day to pay your bills, your car note, your mortgage, your rent, your kids' college tuition, these folks are not for you because they are planning on taking away federal money from public schools, public colleges, universities, because they don't believe in education. They do not believe in education. They got this crazy woman running the Department of Education. What's her name? What's her name? Betty DeVos. She don't know jack about nothing. Well, I once sat in on a committee or something. She knows nothing. And then I saw her on television in the White House. She was sitting right next to Donald Trump, smiling. You can just look at her and say, oh, wow, I'm a dunce. I don't know anything, but I'm glad I got the position. She paid for the position. She bought it. She gave him money. Okay. And she almost didn't get it because the vice president had to break the tie. It was 50-50, 50 Democrats, 50 Republicans, Senate, you know. And he had to come in there and break the tie. So she winds up Secretary of Education of the Department of Education, which is going to pot right now. Education, as we know it, is over. It's over because if you look at the Chicago Public Schools, I mean, they they are hurting for so much money. And Rauner is saying no. They are hurting for so much money, it's a shame. Program cuts, teacher cuts. You talk about all kinds of cuts. Cuts in the classrooms, cuts here, cuts there. And it's only going to get worse because Rauner is not going to give up anything. In order for the, you know, and actually, I'm just hearing that the Chicago Public Schools have sued the governor. Yeah, for the money that is actually owed to those schools. They are suing the governor. Yeah, what can I say, folks? I mean, this governor, everybody is suing this damn governor. Everybody has sued him, you know, and because the Republicans, they don't believe in courts. They don't believe in the judges, you know, but he has been sued. He's been sued 5 or 6, 7 or 8 times, 10 times, 20 times. Because there is no budget in the state of Illinois. And if there's no budget, that means money cannot flow out. Like I said earlier, Bruce Rauner can have a budget in the state of Illinois in 5 or 10 minutes if he wanted to. But he wants to drag this out because he wants what he wants. And what he wants has nothing to do with the budget. But you can't tell him that. You can't tell the people who are shining his shoes that. You know, he said, well, give me this, then I'll give you that. And the Democrats say, no, that has nothing to do with the budget. let's get the budget done first, and then we'll talk about what you want, Governor. We'll see what we can do. And he says no. And that's about it. And as long as there is no budget, social programs are going to be upended. Some have already closed down. Some have already been impacted to the point where they no longer exist. People out here in need are missing those services. But, you know, you got a heartless governor, period. I mean, I've heard him say, I read somewhere where he said that he's not heartless, but by the things that he's doing, all the things that he's not doing, you would say this guy's very heartless. And the people that this is affecting, you know, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. The Republicans are not about the middle class. They are not about working people. If you hear Republicans say that, they're lying, especially if they're rich. They're lying. They are not about you, me, them, if we're working for a living. You can forget it. So you have to get out here and fight, folks. You can't sit back, lay back, and hoping that someone else is going to fight your battles for you. You have to fight your own battles. No one is going to... Well, you're sitting back, oh, wow, this is terrible what's going on. It's really terrible. And then go back and kick up and lay up on the couch. You got to get out here and get active. Other people are doing it. Young people are out there. I mean, they are out there in droves. Later on, I think earlier this evening, there were this college, I can't think of the name of it, but they were protesting someone who was going to come there to speak, a part of the Trump administration, and they were protesting this person because this person, they feel, did not have their values, their concerns and their values at heart, that this person was probably going to spread a lot of hatred. So they and this has been going on around the country, you know, around the country, students at these universities blocking these speakers from coming in to speak because these speakers are filled with hatred and division. And that's not some of the qualities or the values of some of these institutions around the country. So they say, hey, wow, don't come here. We don't want that. And that's a good thing. I mean, if that person is not thinking the way you're thinking, why would you want that person? Why would you listen to that person? All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. We got about 6 more minutes left into the show, folks. And I'm on the internet here, and I'm looking at this young girl. After 4 days after shooting, 12-year-old girl, she dies. You know, 12. She was one of the girls that I was talking about earlier on the show, and she dies. And it comes to 3 or 4 people dying of gunshot wounds in the city of Chicago in two or three days. That's a damn shame. Then you have the police department. If you heard the beginning of the show, if you didn't, then go back and check it out. It'll be podcast soon. And then the Chicago police, the superintendent of Chicago police comes on television and says it is not a Chicago Police Department problem. CPD. It's not our problem. But I just hope somebody somewhere schools this guy. You know, he's got a 6-figure job, paying him a 6-figure salary. And he's going to say that the shootings and the killings and the murders and the crimes, the homicides, not CPD problem. Wow. And the thing about it, some of these leaders around the city of Chicago, they're going to believe that. They're going to harp on that. Not me. I mean, it is a CPD problem. It may not be their entire problem as a whole, but they can't dismiss that. They can't take some of the heat because of these murders in the city of Chicago. Give me a break. That's another person who's trying to make us look stupid, to try to make us believe something that's unbelievable. And I hope the people of Chicago, I hope you guys are smarter than that. I hope you guys are smarter than that. We need a change of leadership. We need to get rid of this superintendent. We need to get rid of the mayor. And we totally need to get rid of the governor, because these people aren't doing anything concrete about stopping the carnage in the city of Chicago. They're pointing to, they're giving excuses. Well, we need resources. We'll send us some FBI agents. What we need, people to do their jobs and to be on the job. I've stated several times on this show how to end the carnage in the city of Chicago. I'm thinking they're saying that I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm thinking they're saying, well, please don't listen to the George Wilder Jr. show. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's going to mislead you. I'm thinking that they're saying something like that, or they're thinking that. Because I don't hear nobody out here in Chicago or the state of Illinois talking and saying the things that I'm saying. Maybe nobody's brave enough to do that. I just don't hear it. I don't hear anybody bitching about this the way I am. Oh, they'll mention it. They'll talk about it. But they're not going to be as passionate as I am. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We got about 3 more minutes left into the show, folks. I want to thank you for tuning in. We will be here tomorrow, and it's going to be another fun show. And maybe, just maybe, I'm going to be just as passionate.
Help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Anyone who never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw.
Back tomorrow, and I may be just as passionate, folks. Bye-bye.